What if you've got no resources? What if you want to make a podcast that's about something you want to say that's not representative of where you work or who you associate with? These are the five key things, and handily, they all begin with P. So you need to take sort of a bit of time to think about these five elements. We've got planning, the presenting, production, processing, which is post-production, but I didn't like using production twice, and then promotion. So because I've got a short time, I'm going to just relate each of these to how I developed my podcast to give you an idea of the sort of things you might want to think about. So when it comes to planning, you need to have an idea, obviously. You can't just talk about nothing. And that is an idea both in terms of content and format and also your audience. So depending on what you want to talk about, there are different ways you might want to structure that. Now, with Short Science, we started off wanting to reach what we thought of as a non-specialist science audience, because we thought there's no such thing as scientists. Scientists are very super specialized. They can't know about all of science. So we figured whatever bit of science we chose, there would be scientists listening who didn't know about it. That worked for about 6 months to a year, but then what happened was we started to get a younger and younger audience. And as we did a lot of audience engagement with asking people to actually contribute content to our podcast, and we sort of, our age group got dragged down and we had to include simpler and simpler science. So we now have an audience that's family oriented, so probably as young as 10, 12, and then the parents tend to listen, and then we also have some grandparents listening. In terms of format, you want to give people something to hook onto. So with our show, it's a magazine format. So it starts with the news, then it has science, variously organized depending on how we are presenting. At the moment, we have a medical section called our medical casebook, and then a discussion capsule where we answer questions that people email in. We used to always end with a quiz, but at the moment we only have, I'm the only presenter, so I can't quiz myself. It just doesn't work very well. I did try. But what we found was that a lot of people would tune in just to listen to the quiz because they thought it was funny. People would tune in just to listen to the news. And keeping your regular format means people can do that. They can fast forward to the bit they know they want to listen to. And they don't then end up listening to 20 minutes or something they're not interested in and then never download you again. So it's quite helpful to have a consistent format. And then you think about length. Are people going to listen to 45 minutes of you, or are they going to be bored after 10 minutes? And can you actually get what you need to say down in 10 minutes? Our podcast used to be 40 minutes. It's now 20 to 30, depending on how interesting I feel that week. Then when it comes to presenting, you need to make sure you've got good people that you're working with and people that you're comfortable with. You need to sort of have personality. And I think for my podcast, I have more personality when I'm with other people, which is very unfortunate at the moment that I'm doing this sort of monologue every week. Your presenting team, if you're doing a scripted podcast, will also be involved in probably writing your script. And if you've all got the same sort of goals in mind, that's really helpful. I had a fantastic co-presenter when I first started. We had the same ideas about how we wanted to do things. It worked really well. Then I had a presenter for about a year who worked with me. We had completely different ideas, and every week was a battle. So don't put yourself in a hard situation. Try and find the right person to present with. Then I don't want to talk too much about using more people, because Frank's going to come on to that, but you might also want to have regular contributors and correspondents. The more voices you have, in a way, it adds value, but as long as you don't dilute your main voices. So you need to have a strong kind of host or presenting presence. When it comes to production, this is where I really want to say that anybody can do this. You don't need any experience at all, and you don't need any money. My podcast costs me £0, 0 pence every week, and it has done since it started. You can record using no more than a computer. You don't need special microphones. You don't need special equipment. You don't need a studio. Obviously, all these things help your sound, and the more professional you sound, the better it is. But you don't need that. And just, I'm going to finish with one quick anecdote, which is that on the first episode that we did, we knew nothing about recording. We went into the studio, we recorded a half an hour show, and then we went home. Well, I went home, my co-presenter went to the pub or something, and I then needed to put out the podcast. And you don't need to know anything. There are enough blogs on the internet. It took me 14 hours to get it to iTunes, but it's perfectly possible. And now, with experience and having done it a few times, we can write the show in 2 hours, record in half an hour, edit in half an hour to an hour, and it is on iTunes that evening and broadcasting. So like yesterday, I started at 11 in the morning, and it hit iTunes about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it doesn't have to be a great, lengthy, time-consuming process.